If I Let You Go by Charlotte Levin, read by Maxine Peake.
But it is not enough merely to exist. I need freedom, sunshine, and a little flower for a companion. The Butterfly, Hans Christian Andersen. Three sheets of paper lie side by side. Edges must be neat, lined up. The contrast between the off-white and the black mock granite of the worktop exposes any misalignment. She's owned the stationery for years, a present from yet another drifted friend. Never retrieved from the cupboard, never having noticed the delicate gold finches printed in the right-hand corner. One perched on a branch, the other flying away. The pen is heavy and cold. Initially nervous about him finding out that she's used it, her brain catches up. Of course, it doesn't matter now. These notes need to represent her properly, and nice ink is important. She'd hate to be remembered by the scrawls of a worn-out biro. Shuffling further back into the tall stool, she blinks, slow, heavy, and proceeds to write. Though all three notes differ in their content, each one opens with the same words. I am sorry. Chapter 1. A Small Stuffed Scotty Dog. She's invisible. A living ghost riding the number 73 bus through the streets of Salford. Crisp cotton blue top, light scrubs, ironed to perfection, the XL label cut out, and not just because it itched. All humanised by the name badge Janet. And, as always, a memorial to Lost Inner Spark. Sparkly earrings, half moons bought by Colin many half moons ago. The fierce sun is a welcome break from the days of perpetual rain, and she rests her overheated head against the cool of the window to watch the daily rushes. Summer sky poking between penthouse-topped high-rises and poverty-stricken high-rises and red-brick daisy-chain houses as she nears home. All accented with colourful litter, pecked at by grey, hobbled pigeons. Sitting up straight, she digs into her bag and removes one of the mini Bakewells brought in by Sam for Gemma's last day. She'd already eaten one with her post-shift tea, but couldn't resist the offer to take another home. Peeling the foil from its base, she presses the short pastry into her mouth. She likes Sam, despite being unable to get to know them properly. She likes all the Sam's cleaning angel girls, especially Nish. And she enjoys the hours ending her workday not long after the majority of people are about to start theirs. Few jobs offer such instant satisfaction. Except, perhaps, a chocolatier. But even then, Coco loses its pleasure after a while. There's only so many Ferrero Rochers one can eat in a day. And she's good at it, cleaning. The other girls know not to touch her trolley. Compared to theirs, it is meticulous. Microfiber cloths stacked neatly when not in use. Portions lined up, nozzles facing the same direction. The truth is, it calms her. Cleanliness, neatness. Dirt erased, surfaces shined. All the things we can't do with our souls can be achieved elsewhere with a damp cloth and some silly bang. The bus slows to standing. Released air pressure from the opening doors echoes. A lad hugging a rucksack and dressed in an oversized suit takes the seat next to her. A young hooped earring mother, barely an adult herself, wearing a season-defying puffer jacket, struggles to board with a buggying toddler. Fucking hell, Keown, I've had enough. To avoid looking over, Janet balances the foil tray containing the last bite of the Bakewell on her knee, then searches the back of her head for her hairband. Pulling it free, her dry, home-bleached locks protrude in the same position as if it's glued. After stretching the elastic over her hand onto her wrist, she places the remaining tart in her mouth, but she can't prevent another glance. The young mother is stirring into her phone. The child is distressed, crying. While chewing, Janet pinches the black threaded elastic between her thumb and index.